Hello, this is Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. The Lord gave me this particular topic when I was going through something, and I asked the Lord when this is going to end, and he just reminded me. He said, this is a life of sacrifice. Now, the Holy Spirit spoke those words to me as encouragement, letting me know that what I was going through was no different than what other followers of Jesus Christ were going through. The details may be different, but the fact is, this is a life of sacrifice. And so I want to talk a little bit about that because people don't like to suffer for any reason. That's what sacrificing means, suffering, loss of something, having to give up something. But Jesus said in Matthew 16, where he asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And they said, some things call you John the Baptist, Elias, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then he turned around, and he says, well, who say ye that I am? And that is important because for me and my growth in ministry, it was that question that I had to answer for myself. Who was Jesus Christ to me? Because within my finding out who he was to me, I found out who I was to him and how I fit into his kingdom scheme. So I want to talk a little bit about that because what happened was Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but by my Father which is in heaven. And then Jesus continues. He says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Jesus is saying, listen, this is what my church is based on, revelation from the Father in heaven. It's not based on works. It's not based on religion. It's based on hearing from heaven. And unfortunately, hearing from heaven can cause some difficulties in our physical world, mainly because the world does not see as God sees, nor do they understand. And even in this passage, we see it because Jesus just talks about the blessing that's on Peter because he heard from heaven. And then he goes on in this whole passage here. He talks about what's coming. The elders and scribes are going to kill him. He's going to be raised the third day. Then Peter says to him, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be done unto thee. Okay, remember what I said. The world sees things one way, but what Jesus was trying to tell him, I'm going to the cross. The scribes, the Pharisees are going to do this to me. And he's trying to let them know this is the Father's will. This is the spiritual part of my journey. But Peter, who was blessed in a few verses ahead of that, was now being rebuked. And here's what Jesus said. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And that's important because our spirit is supposed to be leading us, not our flesh. That means not our emotions, not how we feel, not how we think, and not how anybody else thinks. So Peter was rebuking Jesus for telling about his commandment for the Father. Sometimes we want to share with people what God has planned for our lives. And the only thing they're going to do is they're going to rebuke us. They're going to call us crazy. They're going to come against us. And that's what Jesus is demonstrating here. With the same person was blessed one minute, cursed the other. I remember when Jesus was coming on the donkey and they would call him Hosanna, Hosanna. And the next minute they were saying, crucify him. That's the flesh. That's what the enemy uses to turn against those who follow Jesus Christ. This he's telling us, we got to let go of the physical things in this world and the things that seem common and natural to our culture and reasonable to our culture. We are kingdom people, kingdom citizens first and foremost. So when Jesus rebukes Peter and he says unto the other disciples, if any man will come after me, meaning if we'll follow him, he says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Follow me. There's a cross to be borne. That's where the sacrificing is. If you're going to follow me, if you're going to be one of my disciples, there is a cross you're going to have to bear. There is some suffering and a sacrifice you're going to have to go through in order to follow me. And that's the life of Christianity. It is a life of sacrifice. But here's what Jesus said. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Meaning if you're trying to save and hold on to this life in the natural, you're going to lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. So what he's saying is if you're letting go of the things of this world to follow him, you're going to find his life, eternal life, far beyond this physical being here. Then he says, for what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus is about saving souls. But if we're attached to the world, even though we say we are his followers, we can lose it. And we have some people that have totally turned away from Jesus Christ. Why? The things of this world, the things that made sense to them or appealed to their human nature, that was what they followed. They were no longer disciples. They were no longer followers. They were followers of the flesh and of doctrines of men. And Jesus continued. He says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." He says, "Verily I say unto you, there will be some standing here that shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." So he wasn't saying that these people weren't going to die a natural death. What he was letting them know is there's another kind of death, a separation from God that will come from those who decide that they're going to get out of the kingdom and follow another way. So we have to really let go of this earthly life, this human life, our cultural life, our family lives. When Abraham heard the voice of God, the Lord said, "Get away from your father's house, get away from your country, get away from everything that's familiar to a land I'm going to show you." And the blessing came because he left. He sacrificed leaving family. And some people are hesitant to leave family and friends and comfort, but you cannot keep those things and follow Jesus Christ, because he's going to take you into the unknown and you're going to have to follow him, follow his voice. And that's the thing that this message is about, suffering and sacrifice as we follow Jesus Christ. I asked the Lord about the whole idea of sacrifice. And I said, "Lord, why is it that we have to suffer in Christianity?" It didn't make sense to me. He responded by saying that's the pattern that our master set in place. He said, if Jesus suffered, we have to suffer. He's our master. He's our example. So everything Jesus went through, we can expect to happen to us, or we should be prepared for it. Probably not at the same extent, but his life is a pattern for us to look at and expect what's going to happen to our lives. And we are no different from our master. Jesus left the glory of heaven to come into this dying earth just to save us, just to bring back the things and buy back and take back the things that Adam lost. And yet, Isaiah said it this way. This is Isaiah 53. This is how he describes Jesus. Now, remind you, Jesus came to bring goodness and the blessing and all the good things of God back to us. And yet, Isaiah said he was a man despised and rejected by men. So the very people Jesus was trying to save and bring goodness to were the ones who rejected him. And he also said that Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But yet Jesus bore our griefs. He bore our sorrows. And yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he wasn't. And that's the contradiction Jesus lived. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. That sacrifice he made for us. So this contradiction is the type of thing that every believer is going to walk into. And that's what I was feeling as well. People think, well, I can just get saved and just come into the church and do nothing. No, you're marked. You're anointed by God for good works. And what that means is the enemy is going to be coming after you. Your family's not going to be comfortable. People around you that are closest to you will not be comfortable with this new state of being. And that's what Jesus was. He was a light that came into the world. And the Bible says that he came to his own people and his people received him not. So when we're suffering and we go through this life of sacrifice in the kingdom, we're told to look unto Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. And because of it, he was rewarded and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we're told to consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. It's a contradiction. You have to be able to live through the shame to be able to come through it so that you can receive the reward. And that's what Jesus did. We're sent someplace to do good, maybe within our families. Then what happens? Families talk about you. Families reject you. Some even threaten your life. But the thing is, you're making a sacrifice for them. I remember several years ago, the Lord put me in a place, and it was a great sacrifice. I was with a family member. And this person, oh my goodness, I remember getting berated, talked about, plotted against, prayed against, just wicked things. And one day I just said, "Lord, you know what? They don't realize what I've sacrificed for them. You told me to be here. I didn't have to be here." And what his response was, "They don't realize the sacrifice I made for them either." And then I understood what he meant, because he's saying, I went through it and you're going to go through it. That's where that sacrifice comes in. Then again, I remember being on a job, and it's a job where the Lord sent me. And this one particular day, and it might have been a season where I was getting attacked and attacked and threatened and attacked and threatened and attacked. It was to the point where it was overwhelming. And I said, "Lord, see how they treating me?" He says, "Remember how they treated me." Okay. So I had to deal with the persecution. I had to deal with the wickedness, the lies, and the threats of death, because that's what he went through. So recently, the Lord has had me doing more videos. I'm out there on YouTube and Facebook, and the enemy started coming in again on me. One day, the Lord said, I want you to go live on Sunday mornings. And as I obeyed, the enemy attacks became more intense. The threats and the lies became more intense. But then when the Lord told me to start an apostolic prayer force and start recruiting and training people, oh my goodness, the devil lost his mind. I was threatened in ways I can't even describe. Tried to destroy my reputation, tried to destroy my ministry, tried to destroy everything. It was to the point that I knew that if any other person, they would have given up, would have said, Lord, I can't do it. They're spreading all this wickedness to keep people away. How can I overcome this? But that's not what happened. Somewhere when I recognized this was the enemy's plot to shut me up, shut me down, I had a bold and faith came on me. And then I'm going harder and stronger no matter who shows up, no matter what they do. God told me to do this and I'm going to do it. And so I did. It was successful. Didn't get the big crowds, but I just needed the ones that Lord was sending, and they came. The sacrifice we make is because we are trying to do something that God wants us to do in the kingdom for the sake of the people who he's trying to reach. So expect some kind of sacrifice to be made. It's not going to be easy, but you have to do it if you want to be pleasing to the Father. This is a message about maturity, just about actually being a follower, a true disciple and follower of Jesus Christ. How many times are we refusing to make sacrifices for the kingdom, for the things that Jesus is trying to tell us to do? Now, I'm reminded in Mark chapter 10, where Jesus was approached by the rich young ruler. You may remember the story where he says, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus tells him to keep the commandments. Well, he figured he did all that. So he says, well, I've done it and kept those from my youth. But Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. He says, go sell everything that thou have and give it to the poor, and then you'll have treasure up in heaven. And come, take up your cross and follow me. Well, the man was upset. He was upset because he had riches. And then Jesus said, how hardly shall they have that have riches enter to the kingdom of God? Now, most people would use this verse to justify that rich people could not enter in heaven. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He said, how hard is for those who trust in riches to enter into the kingdom? Now, let's do this. Substitute for the word riches. What is it that you have comfort in? How hard is it for them that stand on their intellect or trust in their education? How hard is it for them to enter to the kingdom? You can substitute anything that we have put it trust in, that we had pride in above God. You can put it in there and say, it's hard for you. Unless you let those things go, you can't enter in. And that's the point I want to make. As believers, we're not to be conformed with the ways of the world or to our own satisfaction. We're supposed to renew our minds to think and act like God. And this requires great faith, especially in our day, in the midst of a world system that tells us to value things and trust in riches. We have so many things in the West, but Christians, we're called believers. And that's because we're supposed to be trusting and believing in God above all things, above all other things. So I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul, and he had all these great accolades, but he said he counted it all dung, counted it lost for Christ. He said he could count those things for the world, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, he said he would suffer loss of all things and count them but dung, trash, rubbish, something to be flushed down the toilet, so that he could be found not in his own righteousness, but through righteousness of the faith of Jesus Christ, that he may know him. He said, in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings. So he's talking about, he wants to apprehend all that he was apprehended for by Christ. And I want to too. Wouldn't you want to know everything it is that Jesus had for you? Wouldn't you want to obtain that? Pressing toward the mark of the high prize of calling of Jesus Christ. In this season, we are to be doing things for the glory of God. That's why he designed us. That's why he created us, for his glory alone. Are you willing that you give up house and family and sisters and brothers and mothers or children or lands for his sake and for the sake of the gospel? Because he said, if you are, then you will receive 100-fold now in this time. Meaning you're going to get it all back. It's with persecution. So the blessing of God comes with persecutions from the enemy. But he says, in the world to come, you'll have eternal life. You can't get out of suffering in these end times because he's putting the squeeze on the kingdom of darkness. So you can't get out of here without suffering either for or against Jesus Christ. Your sacrifice has to be made one way or the other. But he's calling us all to that point where we have a decision to make. choose the kingdom and a sacrifice for Jesus Christ, because that's the only place of safety in these last days. So it's time that we, as people of God, realize we are in the army of God. It's time to suit up. Jesus gave us a victory. He's just saying, stand in that victory. Stand on my side. Let go of everything else and watch me do the rest. And that's the message for today. Are you willing to take that sacrifice? Because Christianity is a life of sacrifice for all who would follow in the footsteps of Jesus. This has been Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. Until next time.